Hope you're enjoying this podcast brought to you by Changing Room Chat. This episode is sponsored by Nicopods Elite, and we have quickly stopped for an advertisement with our sponsors. You have 30 seconds, pal. Go.
Here at Nicopods Elite, we supply premium nicotine pouches. We operate in the Aberdeen area and supply next-day delivery throughout the UK to personal customers and also to businesses. We offer a wide range of brands such as Killa, Pablo, and many other fan favourites. Find us on Instagram now at Nicopods Elite, or browse our website at www.nicopodselite.com. Boom. There you go. Don't even need the full 30.
Know the feeling, brother. Welcome to episode 12 of the Changing Room Chat, sponsored by Nicopods Elite and James Connolly PT. Today that we're down at the Aberdeen Lynx Ice Arena to speak to the young darling of Aberdeen Lynx, Gary Kelly. How you doing, pal?
Not bad, man. Thanks for having me on.
No problem at all. I had to wait a bit because you were signing babies in that. How's everything been? All right, good?
Yeah, it's been good. Just recovery. Just been recovering since the injury. Enjoying Christmas with the family, and friends, you know, getting a little bit more like I don't usually do during the season.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, just kind of been laying low, trying to get ready for...
Well, you say you're laying low, but you've also told me you were in Benidorm for your...
No, Marbella.
Marbella for your 18th, so I don't know if laying low is the right... How was that, all right?
Yeah, no, it was good. It was a good experience. It was good to be with the boys, like... I don't see my pals a lot during the season.
Yeah, of course,
As I say, Whitley, Aberdeen, two games a weekend, so I don't see them a lot. So when I do get to see them, I'm just trying to make the most of it, especially overseas.
Obviously, we'll touch on the career, but do you feel like you take it quite serious? Like you were saying, obviously, you don't see your pals and that. I know you obviously briefly from here, but you seem like you're quite switched on to it.
Yeah, definitely.
You take it quite...
Yeah.
Because where do you want to go with it? It's as far as you possibly can.
Yeah, well, I'm a glazier apprentice in Dundee City Council, so that kind of... I mean, for obviously you hear about it all the time when I went in 4,000 camp and they spoke about, like, you know, going down south full time, etc. I mean, for me, it's more just trying to just take it year by year.
Yeah.
I don't want to look ahead too much. Don't want to look behind myself. I just want to focus on maybe just now, especially with an injury. It's more just thinking, like, just get back to where you were.
Yeah.
And whatever happens, kind of happens. Thing. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of how my mindset is on it.
So for people listening then that kind of don't follow Lynx as such, what was the injury?
I think it was just either a skate or a cross check. It wasn't a bad hit. I mean, the guy didn't, I don't think he purposely meant it.
Yeah.
But just an awkward landing, you could say. Well, because I was told when I first took the impact, my knee popped out. I just spun around and fell. It went too far in, and it's damaged the ligaments and the tendons. And I mean, I was told I tore my tibial tendon, but I mean, don't know if that's necessarily quite true, because I feel like I might be back this quickly, but there was definitely something anyway, because I was on crutches for the first 3 weeks, started physio, like, so you do your first three, and on the fourth you can start physio, so got off my crutches, started to get more mobile, but no, not, you know, I've literally started my back at my work on Monday, it's literally just been, my life just felt like it's just not been how it is, and it's kind of been like a bit of a blur, to be honest. I'm just kind of looking to just get past it and just get back going in life again.
How was the recovery? Did you take it? Did you follow it as well as you could?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, I mean, obviously,
a lot of strengthening and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, no, obviously, people I see my social media is like, oh, he's out weekend, this and that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, the thing is, you don't see the other 6 days what goes on during then. I wasn't working, so I was on. As soon as I could get back on the bike, I was on the bike all the time.
Right.
I don't do a lot of running, to be honest. I don't like doing running. I prefer doing like a swimming pool or a bike or something like that. But I was doing a lot of swimming when I was able to start coming and doing like exercises again. Just because I've got a strength conditioning guy.
Yeah, I see
Miles,
that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Miles McGee, Athletic Development. He's a good lad. He gave me a program before my injury.
Right.
So once I got going again, I've just been gradually, like, just week by week, slipping bits back into what I was doing before to then...
Yeah,
back to where we're, well, hopefully be back on ice this weekend.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting to touch on next. Obviously, we're here before training. You are planning on going on the ice. You feeling good?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm just feeling like it's more just, for me, to be honest with you, it's been more of a mental battle. I mean, like, for me, I'm playing ice hockey every single weekend, Aberdeen, Whitley Bay, and to go from that, you're great fans here, great fans there, welcoming people here and there, then to just go from that to, you're not seeing anything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and obviously not working either. Your sleeping patterns all the place. You're up all night. I was up all night thinking, like, am I going to recover? Like, no, just a typical injury process. But, I feel like now I'm mentally strong. Well, stronger than I was, and definitely physically as well. So I'm hopefully after tonight, you should be ready to go for the weekend.
So ice hockey, it's not a weird one as such. It's really popular, but was it always ice hockey from a young age, or was there anything?
No, I played football until I was about six, and for those who know me personally, I've got a bit of a temper. So
nah, not yet. Surely not.
But no, it was more my dad I think the story is, my dad's a big Celtic fan. He followed Celtic all over Europe for 25 years or something, and it was like, I think the football was off because of the snow.
Okay.
So my dad and his pal went to ice hockey, and I went along, and I was just like, I'd love to do this. And I have a pal, Lewis Neef, who plays for the Comets. He was already playing. And the guy CJ, he doesn't play anymore. He's gave up a few years ago. But like these are my friends from the area. Yeah. So I see them doing it, and I get took there. I was just like, why not?
Let's so what age did it. You actually first jump on ice?
Six years old, yeah. Yeah.
Pretty natural, like, mate. I'm 34 and I still can't skate. It's pretty impressive. So did you kind of fool on as soon as you started? Find a bit of a love for it?
Yeah, I think it was more, I just loved the, like, it's just, see, going for me, it was more like football is like, you kind of roll about, you get tackled. I just loved the physical aspect. Yeah. I loved, like,
yeah.
And as you got older and I started getting better and I was playing for the higher age groups, I realised there's like a big brotherhood.
Okay,
and that's, and to me, that's the most meaningful thing of everything the ice hockey is relationships I've built. Like, I've got, like, Johnny McBean, he's one of my best pals. Like, he's tearing up for the Stars just now. He's scoring goals lately, getting points. Yeah. And we've got a lot of pals that are down that nationally too. So it's like, I think for me, the brotherhood aspect, like, mainly really makes me, like, love ice hockey from then.
It's way different, eh? Like, I think I said this on the one I did with Josh. Like, I'm very football-orientated. But then when you come here, it's massively
different.
Yeah,
it's a culture change, isn't it?
Massively different.
Like, even, like, when I was in school, I'd always still play for the school team and that. And, like, I wasn't bad. I mean, definitely... Some of my pals listening, they'll give it a wee chuckle because
I've seen you play one touch.
I know, I'm not the best, and Jordan loves it when he's at one touch too. So I usually just call it a day sooner than I probably should, but just to save myself. But nah, but I mean, football and ice hockey, that's kind of been the two sports. I did boxing, went to high school, which is typical, like you went to high school, you learn how to carry yourself. Boxing, just that. Just wasn't serious, man. Just boxing, there you go, learn how to use.
Yeah.
Use your fists, and well, recently I've been needing to use it on the ice here.
Yeah, so. I've seen that. We'll talk about that in a bit. So, So, how does ice hockey work? When can you actually start playing like ice hockey opposed to just skating?
Well, I mean, you hear all the stories about Canadian kids, American kids, they're playing from 4 or 5, but I think here I'd probably say, from what I see now, it's definitely changed from when I was younger to now, because there's a lot more kids coming through. Like, since I started playing, you've got, like, Liam Kirk getting drafted. Like, that's just him himself done so much for British ice hockey and bringing all these kids on. But I'd probably say maybe in between your 4 to 8 range is probably your main start in trying to actually play ice hockey and learn the basics and stuff like that. Yeah, I'd probably say that.
Because what age does it go competitive? We've got Suze, who's the social media the link. She's overseeing it, so I'm dragging her in. What age can you play competitive?
So, we'll have, for the younger ones, there's cross ice, which is like mini games.
Yeah,
right.
So I love that.
So it's like an introduction to competitive, but...
So is that what Fridge still plays now?
So that's the little ones. So they play little tournaments throughout Scotland.
Right.
And it just gives them an introduction.
Yeah.
Really league start.
Tens.
Which is mad to think that, like, because ice hockey, obviously, that thing they ended last year with the boy tragically losing his life.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous sport, eh?
Yeah.
So to think 10 year old, you're able to go and play.
Yeah. I mean, even going back to instant, it's never really crossed my mind at all. Like, it's physical, like, you get hurt, like, as you see with yourself, there's 3-4 other boys in the team that are injured. But I mean, it's never something that kind of went through your head.
Yeah.
It was more just like, you just love the game, you love the thing about it. And it's the harsh reality of playing a sport that's physical. I mean, accidents do happen. And, as we've seen, obviously.
See, when that happened, that event happened, did that change, like, because obviously the season here had started. Did that kind of, were boys a bit more worried about it? Did it, like, change people's minds a little?
I can't speak for other people.
No, but for
me, purely for the fact that I was 17 coming on 18 and my cage was going to go and I knew my braces were coming off soon.
Yeah.
I wasn't like I was scared. It was more just
a linger in the back of
my head. It was kind of just one of them things where it's like, oh God, like that.
That does happen.
It was a harsh awakening.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, it happens and everyone, not just here, all over the world, just seen it, like, playing the respects of the guy. Like,
yeah,
he just, it's fortunately lost his life doing the game he loved.
Yeah,
that's and it's again just the harsh reality of playing a sport that's physical, and
yeah,
you know, repercussions obviously have been made since then. So hopefully,
yeah, with the net guards and
yeah, hopefully, yeah. Just hopefully, guys feel more safer on the ice, because you want to come here and feel like you're in danger. You want to come here, you want to enjoy yourself, see the boys. Try win some silverware, you know, you don't want to be thinking about, obviously, some tragedies happening to yourself.
So, obviously, when you started playing hockey more competitively, at what age, I've asked this a few times to different people in different sports, what age did you kind of realise, I'm pretty good at this?
No, what's funny, for me, there was one game it clicked.
Okay.
So I kind of always played my own age till I was about maybe 9.
Yeah.
And then I started playing up. Maybe to 12s.
Okay.
But like, when I was still playing in the 10s, I was still roughly, you know, 9, 10 years old. And it was one game in Lanarkshire, I just like, was in the little, I think it was a little, was it ice rink? I think it's Hamilton Ice Rink, honestly. Okay. It's like the size of this table, it's tiny. And like, I just remember that game, I just popped off. And then, for the first time I thought to myself, I've got confidence. Like,
yeah.
And that's when I thought, I was like, I could really push on with this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because obviously, you're in primary school at the time and everyone's like, they're going to United, Dundee, the academies. Yeah, yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I mean, I'm okay at my sport, but I've not kind of excelled in it yet.
Yeah,
and that was kind of the one game where I felt the confidence kind of tick. And ever since then, I kind of just like playing up age groups playing my own age. And then our junior team was shit hot, man.
Because confidence is huge in any sport, eh?
Yeah.
See, if you know you're good, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I think for me too, because obviously I came off such a high last season of winning a league and you put up 42 points or something like that. And I came into this year then, obviously Whitley came calling and stuff. Yeah. So like the pressure that I had to build, but it was more just like maintaining my confidence to match with the level that was building up it. Because the second you start doubting yourself, the second it goes wrong. And it's all about, that's what I say, I think, like, I've mentally struggled at points in my life. The injury was probably like one of the biggest ones in terms of sport. But I think, like, to mentally be strong is one of the biggest aspects of playing any sport, not just ice hockey. But this is a sport where if you play bad one night, you're not on your first line the next night.
You know what I mean?
So it's one of these sports where you need to, like, when you're locking in, you need to lock in. It's not about no inconsistencies or I'm not show up to this training. Like, no, you need to be there every week, every game. You need to prove that you're, especially for me being so young, and when I first came here, I came here to prove, like, I'm not just here to sit on the bench, I'm here to score goals and put up points.
One thing I've noticed about hockey compared to, especially when I was like a kid playing football, it's a lot of local. One thing I've noticed about ice hockey is it's a hell of a lot of travel at all age.
Yeah.
So like, I take it at that age, it was dad taking you.
Yeah, it was dad, yeah. And like at that age, Scotland trials were always in Dumfries.
And where are you, Dundee?
In Dundee, yeah. So it's still about three-ish hours, 3.5, something like that. Still, when you're young, you've not got, like, nowadays that you can blabber on your pals for a couple of hours, but back then it was just like iPad runs out and you're like,
you
know what I mean?
So, and they're always early as well, they're not?
Yeah, it was, I mean, I think more like the start of Scotland, your under-11s, they kind of get the later sessions, but like your older teams do, but I still do remember there being like, you know, you're up at 6 a.m, rink at 7, and it's like classroom at 8, warm up at 8:30, and you're on the ice like quarter to 10.
What, so they do all the classroom stuff even at that age?
Yeah, right? It's not as much in depth, it's more just the basics.
Like, right, okay.
And as you get older, it's like, so you get taught a breakout under 11s and you get to 15s, 17s, it's more what type of breakout, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're going to go like a D2D, a quick up or a reverse, you know, that's kind of the stuff you start. So it's just like, it's kind of, you learn the basics and the fundamentals, and then once you start going, it kind of branches off into different bits.
Right, okay.
You know what I mean? So that's kind of how it's the Scotland, but it's also the Scotland setup.
Yeah, yeah.
Scotland setup wasn't when I was there, yeah.
So obviously, before we kind of got on to like playing SNL, you obviously played up a fair bit. Was your first adult hockey, was that when you signed for the Tigers, or did you play like a scrims, I think, here? Like, for people that don't know ice hockey, scrims effectively five-a-sides
like
in football.
Like a men's game, kind of, yeah.
So, like, did you play with adults before? Yeah, okay.
I remember, well, Ben Brown, he's at MK now. I was good pals with Ben growing up.
Yeah, yeah.
And me and Ben used to train with go on scrims with the Comets when I was, like, 13, 14.
Okay.
And obviously you can't play till you're 16, so that was more just scrimming opposed to training. But training, I was training like before I left to go to the Tigers, and I was 15 then, so I was training maybe about, say, 14 I started training SNL, actually training SNL.
Yeah.
So I'd probably say about 14 I started with the Comets. I never played a game for them, Tigers. And obviously when I went there, I was 15, so
yeah,
the rules have changed. But now, look, back then it was need to be 16. So my birthday's just passed, so this time of year, so I couldn't play
until
the second half of the season. So
see, like, in my pods before, people have said, like, in football, you don't really learn football until you start playing adult football, and you're like, holy fuck, it's a different sport. Is hockey the same? Is adult hockey complete different ballgame?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
because that's when you can start hitting.
No, you can start hitting when you're younger. I don't know what the rule is now. 14 now.
14.
Yeah,
you can start
when I was younger. It was like when I first started playing 14s. It was contact. Okay. And it got changed back to 16s. I'm pretty sure, but I can't remember exactly because I remember there was a few injuries and then ended up changing it. But obviously now they've got players that are so.
But even then, when you're hitting at that age, the first time you probably got hit by an adult, you probably thought, "Holy fuck!"
Yeah. It's for me, you know, I see with my hockey, I was like, so I wasn't always like 6'2" kind of, you know, bigger guy. I used to be small, so I learned how to take it off bigger people. Yeah, and I think that's obviously when I've came into SNL, I think that's how I adjusted so well because I'd been pushed around before.
Yeah.
And then I learned how to like combat it. Yeah, so obviously I came to SNL and obviously like, yeah, it's going to be a lot stronger than a 17-year-old boy like hitting it.
Yeah.
But I mean, for me, it was more just like, again, mental factor. It was just like, I just tell myself I've not got a fear. Like, I want to go out here and play bad, so what?
But you quite like that physical side, don't you?
Yeah, I love it. I think it's just, because when I'm from in Dundee, it's just like, you're brought up around an environment, you go to school and like, there's no way of being like an argument without people trying to be physical.
I
was brought up in an environment where it was like physical.
Okay.
So when I come to ice hockey, it's just like, I can do what I do home, but I can do it on my skates and in the sport that I love. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of just mental for me. It was all just like, you may be like, when I was younger, you may be 4 inches taller, but I don't care.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That was kind of just having that underdog mentality. And like, as I say, playing up age groups when I was younger, actually getting a spot on that team. I need to have that mentality of, I may not be the best player here, but I'll definitely show why I should be here.
That's kind of
the mentality I've always had. And I brought that to here, to Whitley. When I first went down there, I was just like, okay, it's another step up, but I'm here for a reason. I need to prove myself, and it's no fear. Like, why be scared? You're there for a reason, so go and prove it. That's kind of my mentality, to be honest.
We've obviously spoke about the positive sides, but
when
you first came at the SNL, Tigers didn't go so positive as the next two moves. So what happened there? So you started playing for them when you were able to at 16?
Yeah, so
half a season there?
Yeah, I played half a season. I scored on my debut. I had an assist. I think I had about maybe either 9 points in 11 games or 11 points in 9 games. I had something roughly like that, and I was on very limited shifts. So obviously it was me. At the time, me and Rio Page had just went.
Right.
So there was a few young boys, so there wasn't enough for everyone. Yeah. I kind of just felt like I was kind of like, felt like a bit of an outcast.
Okay.
To the other boys, and like the way I'd get spoken to on the ice, just kind of like I'd ask a question, I'd just get back in the line, watch what they do. It's never like when I come here, Jordan's like, okay, so this like gives you, it breaks it down for you.
Yeah, coaching, then,
but,
basically.
Yeah, I just felt like I was an outcast, to be honest. I felt like I didn't belong there, not because I wasn't a good player, but because I wasn't one of them. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think Tigers, like, you need to be one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I like a lot of their boys. I do, I'm positive for a lot of them, but I kind of do still feel like, to be playing for them, you kind of need to be in the circle. And I felt like, obviously, I wasn't in that, so moves had to be made.
Yeah, but then that obviously gave you your first taste of the SNL. And
yeah.
You obviously loved it.
No, that's not even the thing. I loved playing SNL. I didn't not like playing for the Tigers, if that makes sense. I just didn't like how I was treated.
Yeah, of course.
Like, when you're on ice and actually playing, and you're, like, looking at your jersey, you're like, I'm, like, in Dundee, Tigers are a big, big team. They've been there. I'm looking, I'm a Tigers jersey now. Do you know what I mean? I'm not a little boy anymore. Like, I'm playing senior hockey. Looking across from the other bench and they've got ex-elite league players and stuff like that. And that's when you really think to yourself, like, okay, now it's time.
Now it's time
to lock in. Do you know what I mean? So
that
was kind of the feeling around it all. And then, yeah.
So how did the move to the Lynx come
to about? The Lynx. So basically, summer before the summer just passed, there was a tournament. It was like Scotland. So our Scotland team is also sick. They played England North and England South. It was like 2 days, two teams twice. I think it was the first game. No, there was one game we were getting beat 3-0, and we went into the third period 3-0 down. And I scored 4 goals.
Okay.
I scored 4 and won 6-3, and then ended up scoring another couple. So I think I ended up having about 9 or 10 points in 4 games. And obviously, Owen Reynolds
was Owen's coach.
Owen's just dropped me a text and asked me what my plans were. And I kind of just laid it out, what I just said about the Tigers. I was kind of looking to get somewhere where I'd actually be given an opportunity.
Yeah.
And then Owen was like, right, come up. Came up for the scrim. And after that, Fraser and Matt were just like, yeah, we're signing this guy.
Okay.
And then the plan was for me to just kind of be like, start on the third line, kind of work my way up. But because of obviously boys being offshore, I think maybe Hogan and Markey were off at the time. So I played my first game on the second line with Snows and that. And I scored in that game. So I scored in my debut. And then a week after was the Tigers in Dundee. So my second game was against them in Dundee.
Yeah.
And obviously, you don't see the footage, but obviously we get to see it because it's like your players. I've seen it. And obviously, my first game back there, I wasn't afraid to give it the old
you give it the Hulk Hogan,
yeah. No, well, we're losing. I'm pretty sure we were 2-0 down. And then I ended up getting two assists. And then we won 4-2.
Okay.
And obviously, that for me, that was my like first part of my redemption. I was like, look, like showed Aberdeen, like, so that was my first game. So not only was it like showing the Tigers that what I was capable of, it was I'm showing my new team, like, okay, I'm on a top line. I'm playing with Jordan Layden, who's had.
I see you were first line, second game.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I got put on it. That's what I'm saying. You're playing with Jordan. He's put up points in this league for years, and years. I remember putting up points when I was still a junior. And you go and watch the Comets or Tigers.
Yeah.
So getting to play with him was probably like. Okay, that's kind of kind of first realised, like, okay, like, I've got a space here, and now it's up to me whether I have it or I lose it.
Yeah,
and I kind of just, that's kind of the mentality. Back again, no fear, underdog, let's just go.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of had a couple of slow games just after that. I wasn't playing bad, I just wasn't putting up points.
Right.
I was playing like an all-round good game, wasn't putting up points then. I mean, it came to, like, New Year, and then that's when, like, a hit form and started really putting up points and like helping the team like offensively.
Because they weren't on that run, was it? They didn't lose an away game until like
they no, we lost. Right, we won every single away game last year except from that last one. We could have won the league in five.
So I was obviously going to bring that up. Yeah. At what point did you start thinking we're going to win the league here? Like obviously you can't speak for others, but for yourself, point were you like?
See, to be honest, when I first came here, I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
Kind of just. As I said, I was in kind of my own lane, and obviously I knew Ben, I knew Dale, and Dyer ended up coming back up after.
Yeah.
I was in my own lane, kind of just figuring out like how I'm going to play.
Yeah.
And obviously, once you start, like you're figuring it out and you're implementing it, it's right. Okay. The boys are going here, and the boat was going.
The boat was going.
The paddles were getting swept, man. So I think for me, it kind of really kicked in when it was like we lost our first game. I'm pretty sure we didn't lose another game for like another 2-3 months before Christmas.
Yeah.
And we came into the break, and everyone was like, so the year before that, remember, I was at the Tigers, the Aberdeen lost the league, didn't they?
Yeah,
so obviously, everyone's got that. So like, it was kind of already there for everyone. But for me, I never kind of came into the like championship winning kind of mentality until. I realised that. It's not that I didn't think it, I just didn't realise that.
Then
all of a sudden I'm like, oh, we're top of the league, got a game in hand and we're 4 points ahead. And I was like, okay, we can start doing something here. Came back and obviously had that monstrosity game versus the Tigers.
Yeah.
That one was, that's just an absolute write-off. boys would have got their chuckles out of that after me being in Dundee.
So before we kind of go on to winning the league, see when you first moved up here,
mm-hmm.
was there any of the older boys that proper like put their arm around you, looked after you sort of thing?
I mean, there's obviously
the
everybody. Team's
different,
that's what I'm saying. Everyone like, if within 2 weeks, I felt like I'd been there for my whole life. But I think really bringing me under their wing, and still to this day, he loves giving his ripping. But Markey,
Markey's a boy.
Because obviously, he knew I was going to be playing with him, etc. And like,
yeah.
I think Markey has taught me more, or like, about being a man just as well as on the ice. To be honest with you. And like, obviously, Fraser, Jordan. Hogan, I think Hogan. So when I had a bit of a rough patch last week, like, I said in that little game, I was kind of getting up, worked up. I was not putting up points. Hogan was just like, "You're your kid. It's fine, chilling." He was just like, he would speak to you in a way where it was like, wasn't being like a dick.
It was just
registering, and that's when I started like I would maybe never have done as well as I did if I never started thinking the way I did because of how people, came back to me. But I mean. Obviously, I've always been pals with Ben. Ben, I've known Ben for years. I kind of came in with Ben. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of. But like in terms of Aberdeen lads putting their arm around me, I'd probably say Hogan, Jordan, Markey, Fraser.
Yeah.
Definitely a fridge. You know, he's. I never came across such characters as I've just named.
Yeah.
And then to come and see all of them, it was just.
They're all on the same team.
Honestly, it was great. It was just. And like obviously, a year later, and I'm here now, and I've known him for a while. But when I look back on it, like a year ago, like I think I've mentally got a lot older—not older, but like yeah, more
yeah.
mature.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously being immature and seeing all that for the first time, you're just like, this is absolutely great. Do you know what I mean? So
I've got to ask, because Josh mentioned it in his, did you have to do the whole buck fast and sing a song on a bus?
I actually, well, was supposed to, but I just ended up knowing. Like, we were on the bus and no one mentioned it.
So you didn't have to sing?
No.
What would you have went for, song-wise?
There's songs I would sing personally, but then it's more about what could I get them going on the bus. Obviously, you've got the beer in the air. Sometimes the Pink Whitney's out and stuff. So obviously, everyone's just like, nah, but I'd probably sing something like, I Think We're Alone Now, something like that. You know, everybody hates, then there'll be whoever's names put in there, I'll be put in.
Did you have to do the Buckfast?
No, I never need to do
You avoid that.
That
as well?
No, I just never got asked. Like, I just, like, it's not that I avoided it. I would happily do that, to be honest with you. But just more like no one asked me, so I just was like, I'm going to keep my mouth shut unless I'm spoken to.
So when they started clicking on and they were winning the games towards the end,
yeah.
Obviously, like you said, they had a chance to win the league in Fife and they lost that game. They lost a couple on the bounce then, when
yeah,
it was kind of there.
Was the week, yeah.
How was that the feeling? Because I remember I was with the team, all that guy was for the doing the massages, and it was a little bit like, oh, fuck. Like, because I've obviously, like you mentioned, the previous years where I've been in times where we've literally blew it, and I thought, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Don't do it again. But it seemed to be quite like a calm mentality. I remember that Fife game, Jordan in the changing rooms didn't go mental.
No,
it
no.
was, okay, it's next
Feel
week
calm, collective. That's yeah. best way to be, I think. I've had coaches that come in and start screaming and bawling and everyone's just like,
it's not the time.
They come in and actually, to come in and shout at people and this and that, I guess treating them like, it's a bit disrespectful. Right? Yeah. To come in and actually have a male-ish tone and actually speak to us like we're men and actually think like, we're men, we're on the same team and we are not losing this league.
Yeah,
that was kind of how it was. And for me, it was, I've won a lot of trophies in my junior career, right? We won like 6 in a row or something like that. Like, I didn't do a lot of losing in juniors.
Yeah.
So for me, the feeling of like, it was all like, oh, my first, it was overwhelming my first year. I could win this, could win that. I've scored here. And it was just like, for that like 2 week period when it started to crumble, it was just like so like, again, back to it mentally.
Yeah.
All I had to be in here and then we came back up here. I would not change that for anything. I would happily take losing the 2 games to win that game here. That was that. Honestly, I think that was honestly the best day of my day/night of my life.
It was just.
It's again like one of the reasons I came here too is because of fans.
Yeah, fans
and, like,
are class,
honestly, they deserve like their props. Like honestly, it's see for me, I still see the buzz, the adrenaline buzz you get when like you've scored and you look up and like you see your sister there and she's shouting.
Yeah.
And, you just see all these kids, like, there's kids with my name on it, and, like, there's my name on the jersey and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, it gives you a pride of, like, Aberdeen. Like,
I
feel like Aberdeen's, like, a second home for me always because of, like, the fans, etc. It's just that buzzing. It was when I scored in that game, that Edinburgh game, that was just, like, I just put my arms out and stared at Nelly because Nelly was sitting right there. He said before the game, he's like, Gary Kelly, you need to score a new goal. Score. I was just like, ah, there you go. And then it went, and obviously you see him going past, giving up all that to the fans, and honestly, it was electric. It was just, as I say, I grew up watching Celtic with my dad, so atmosphere is everything.
Yeah,
I just loved the atmosphere. And then to come and play it in my sport and to be the one that could be the trigger, then it's just like, let's go. Like, love it. You know what I mean?
Talk to him about the time it happened. So I remember, it was obviously they pulled the goalie and it was going towards the end. And I was coming down the stairs towards the bench because I thought we were going to go into overtime.
Yeah.
And that's when Ben scored.
Yeah.
Talk to me about
it.
Did your head just fucking explode when the goal went in?
Have you ever seen the photo of the bench?
Yeah.
And it's me. My cage is like half in my face. I'm like, come on! I'm going wild. Honestly, you see everyone. Fraser's like that. Josh is like, everyone's just got, oh, I was just smiling, speaking about it because it was just such a great feeling. But I think what they've done, so it was 2-2, and I finished 2-2. We were the one league anyway. We needed 1 point, but they need a regulation win. So they pulled their goalie.
I was like,
and
2 minutes to go or something.
Yeah.
It
was more like, see the nerves in my stomach when I was like coming off the ice in between shifts and I couldn't even watch. I was just like I fully believe my teammates, but it wasn't even them. It was more just me. I couldn't bring myself to like, and it was like, to be so young, I'd never experienced that situation before.
Yeah.
So for me, it was all, everything was new. And then like, I remember just the guy slipped. To be honest with you, I already started celebrating when he slipped. I was just like, you see the photos, as I said, everyone's going absolutely crazy. And then I just see when, I remember this so well. So I was on the very end of our bench before the start of the Caps bench.
Yeah.
And I was looking up at the clock, sticking down Dyer's in the box. And I'm like, oh, no. and just and I see it, like it's like 10, and you start hearing 9.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, looked around, everyone's just jumping about, and everyone, and I just like, honestly, it's like slow motion. I just remember I tried to jump, but I fell over my stick and fell back. But I landed on my back foot, so I've got a hold of the board. And I like slow motion, like everybody just started to hop in the bench, and I remember just seeing everyone's faces, and everyone was just like, whoa! Yeah, you know, I mean, everyone was just loving it.
Yeah.
And then I think I just went, I'm pretty sure I rubbered the team. I went just straight to the fans, started battering the glass. I was just going crazy out to the boys, and then like to see like Jordan, like basically, I think I'm pretty sure he was in tears, Marky too. It was just like, no, what? See, before I say that, I should mention after we lost a Caps game here, Jordan took us in and gave us this big, like a big speech about Aberdeen ice hockey, about Aberdeen and what all these guys have came from, what they've been through, and handing out leaflets in, like, what is it? Is it Union Square? Yeah, it is.
Handing
out leaflets so I get people to come.
Yeah.
And then, like, so, like, to, like, fast forward to the moment of winning the league, I remembered seeing that when I remember I gave Jordan a hug and I gave all the boys a hug, and I just felt like, I felt a big sense of, like, that's for everyone who's paid for a ticket tonight, that's for you.
Yeah.
All these boys who've been here for years, that's for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, for me, I came in one of my first years, so I don't know how it feels to lose these.
Yeah, yeah.
Etc.
But then you've kind of summed that up nicely, because obviously there was the high of the winning the league, which was unreal for Aberdeen, for Lynx. But then the following weeks was the playoff final and then the Scottish Cup final, which obviously you did go through that.
Yeah.
How did that feel to go from the high to probably the lowest you can go at hockey, to be fair?
There's only two.
No, for me, it was like a proper roller coaster up. Then it was like we won the semi-final against Paisley, and on the Sunday we played North Fair Saturday, so we're the hotel and that, the vibe was all good, so we won them two games, and then it's the finals weekend, and they go over the playoffs first. Kelly gave us a game. I scored in that game as well, so like that's like, see for me, and when I scored a goal too, like, and it's like get the fans going, it's to get the boys going too. If there's a catalyst needed, I'll put my hand up and say, I'll do it. Do you know what I mean? So I wasn't great in the room after the Kelly game. Obviously, with one, we're in the final, but a lot of the boys were like, that was a shit show. Like, it wasn't like it was a shit show, but it was like, if we play that tomorrow, we're going to get scalped. That's what happened. Right on the next day, I think it was a 3-2 game, but you know, to be fair, the comments, like, JD's here now, but he was there, Ben, like, all these, McCluskey, we were just... They deserved it. They're the best one of the night, and I mean, in sports, I think that's obviously credit. Their credit's due.
Yeah.
I think that's obviously respect to them. They've done their thing.
How did that feel for you then? Because obviously, you've mentioned during the pod that during the juniors, there was a lot of winning. Your first season here, you won. So was that probably the first time you went through a loss where it's like, oh fuck?
You know what? I've lost conferences for Scotland, so I know how I lose, like losing felt. But for me, it was looking down the ice, and there's 5-6 boys you played with your whole life.
I celebrate.
And they're celebrating, and they're giving it to you. They're giving it to you. So I think.
Because you had a fight that night, did you not?
Yeah, it was my first fight that night. That was my very first.
Who was that with again?
Drew Rumgay.
That's it.
You know what? Drew's a good guy. I played with Drew growing up as well. But
that's what I find nuts about hockey. Like, actual mates will punch fuck out each other.
Yeah, definitely. They'll just go for it. They don't give a fuck. That's the thing.
He cheap shot you, didn't he not?
Well, I started off with. I think. I'm pretty sure like the puck came to me and I was still on goal. I don't know. Keeper froze it. Obviously, I went in for it. And I got cross-checked in the back.
Because Tom was fighting with
Billy Baxter.
Billy Baxter.
Yeah, so, well, on the video, I've watched this video so many times for a reason that I can't say on here because there's a certain someone that done my head in that day. But, I got cross-checked. I get up. I'm kind of just like, the stick's gone. Like, what? Like, I'm just looking at him. We're losing 2-0 as well. So I was kind of thinking to myself, if someone goes for me, I'm seen as like the young goal scorer, so if I get something going, it's going to get them going.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I went over, tried to split up Tom from the guy he was with. I skated back around, and Drew just came up to me. At first, I was just like, what are you going to do? Because like I seen it as like, wrong from me, I seen it as like, we're supposed to be mates, and he just went, boom, hit us with a jab. And I grabbed him. I was like, yeah. And that's when I realised, I was like, it's going to need to happen.
Just going to have to go.
I didn't even have time to take my first blow off. I just had to throw my gloves in. I got a few, and then someone flew in.
Yeah.
So someone flew in and then tried to pull my helmet off on the floor, and then that's when Tom started fighting with Billy.
Yeah.
And that was kind of that whole scuffle, but then, I mean, after that, we ended up getting a couple goals, but I mean, it wasn't enough to, as I said, Colts were the better team, they deserved that, so it wasn't enough to get us over the line, unfortunately.
For people that obviously, even for people that do play hockey, but for people that don't, seeing that two situations, like I've obviously been with the Lynx for a long time now, mm-hmm. and I've seen both sides of it. But for you as a player, I think I know what you're not going to answer because from the position you play. But what gets the boys going the most, a goal or a fight? Because a fight does get...
It's two types of getting going.
Yeah.
Because it's like...
A goal's like, right.
A fight's not always necessary. A goal is.
Yeah, true.
But like, I mean, it just depends. Like, you could be 6-2 up and then if there's... Like, it just depends. Like, see if there's someone on our team that's nipping everyone and he's being a little
he gets
and
eyes.
Just being a weasel on us. Like, if someone gets him, then it's... Everyone's like, that's it, like, yeah. Everyone's like, he's just took one for the team. Do you know what I mean? But I think, depending on situations, we've both got their, obviously, like, as I say, I scored that caps goal. I've never scored a goal when it's been that electric in my life.
Yeah.
And then when I fought with the guy a few months ago here, that was electric. But that was an electric I've never experienced before.
Okay, yeah.
So obviously, I was at home and I gave it the...
So it was,
getting the boys going, I honestly think it depends who...
It depends on the occasion.
There's certain boys who, like, you don't need to do that fight. And other boys, it's like, fuck him, he deserves it, this and that.
Yeah.
And it's... Like, but everyone always loves a goal. And I think it's always like, take a nice goal or a nice team goal or like a nice individual goal, that gets the boys.
Yeah.
Or like, just showing like the willingness to stand up for your mates and your teammates.
It's a big one.
For me, like in my life as a whole, I think loyalty is one of the biggest things it's the biggest question, no doubt.
Agreed.
So to see it on the ice with your brothers, like, so you've got your, like me and Dundee, I've always got my pals, my brothers, whatever you say. You come up here, it's completely different. We have a squad of men, a few boys my age. So it's just like, it's just such an overwhelming feeling when someone scores a nice goal. You're just like, everyone looking at everyone on the bench, tapping them, and there's a fight. You're just like, you're just battering the boards, like, smash him.
So I know which one I'm going to say before I ask you, but what's like a fight you've seen at the Lynx where you thought?
Josh Purvis.
Against
God. It's because Josh is the nicest guy.
So sound,
honestly,
yeah.
just a proper gentleman. That's probably the best way to describe him. He's a great guy. And then he came out the box and like, he's just turned. Like I remember him coming out the box and he just turned. I was like, what is he doing? And this boy, and it was how quick his punches were. He was just absolutely like.
He punched the boy's face
like,
in. Like,
absolutely, yeah. Know what? And my very first game was when Fridge fought Cam McGiffin as well.
Oh yeah.
Obviously, Cam, he's a big boy too. He can handle himself. So to see Fridge obviously take him down and. That'd be my first game. As I said, I scored in that game. That was a sort of fighting. There was a goal in the first game.
Yeah, so
I was kind of getting all these first tasters of that.
Welcome to SNL, baby.
Welcome to Aberdeen.
So obviously, after the highs of the league, the lows of the playoff and the Scottish Cup final, you got the well-deserved summer.
Yeah.
When you came back, Whitley Bay.
Yeah.
Huge move for you. But
yeah.
So for the people that don't really understand how ice hockey works, you're on a two-way contract.
Yeah. More
so how does that work?
So basically, Aberdeen's my parent team. So basically, I'm not signed contracts, but Aberdeen, like, they own me,
kind of thing.
So I'll always play for Aberdeen. Aberdeen's always got priority over me. But say there's like a game where you're playing a team that's, see now, the league's stacked up and down. So it's kind of like to say it, it's kind of weird. But like, if there's a team that's not so good and the boys could handle it themselves, Jordan could just go down there because obviously, ultimately, that's the next step.
Yeah.
And obviously for me, when I first got offered, it was weird how it came about. It was more just I spoke to Willie Dunn, the general manager.
Yeah.
Him and Tony had just took over, and they were looking to obviously like revamp Whitley Bay. So honestly, you know about Whitley Bay and the history of them.
So I'm good mates with CJ that used to play here.
He'll tell you exactly. Everything he said is exactly what I would say. It's just absolutely crazy. The fans are all sound, but when you're like when you're playing, like on off the ice or all something on the ice, it's smash him. Like, see, I talk about like that. Like, that's what I mean. See, there's two types of atmosphere. I've played for Whitley Bay, and here, so here's like a one sided crowd, but see there, it's like a mini Murrayfield. And my first game was against Billingham.
Okay,
and
that's quite close, isn't it?
And that's a derby.
Yeah,
and we got absolutely hammered. But to be fair, like I remember it was like a little scuffle or scored. I actually remember. So like they go like, let's go Warriors, let's go, and they slam the seats.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I was looking around and I was like, oh my
fuck.
I was like, Jesus, I was like, I know the stories are real. And I was actually, and then I remember a beer cup came flying over the Billingham bench at one of the players. I mean, I wouldn't say I agree with it, but atmosphere is, you know what I mean? So, but to go back to the start of Whitley, it was more just like, you've seen you had a good year in Aberdeen, like,
yeah,
you're still young, so like, you think you could do a job here? And obviously, for, I've got a lot of friends who were already playing in the National League or the NIHL one, so I was like, yeah, absolutely, I could do a job. So
yeah,
I went down, I wasn't here the whole pre-season, I was down there the whole time.
Right, okay.
To just obviously get Tony to, like, I was invited there, I wasn't going there to like try and be a bit of an arse, like, or whatever. I've been asked to go, so I was like, I'm going. Yeah. Going there. Thought I'd done really well. Then obviously I was supposed to sign, and then just with how fixtures working out, I ended up not signing straight away.
Right.
And then I'm pretty sure they had a couple of injuries, and then it's when the phone rang, just like, you ready to go? I was like, yep, let's go. Let's do it. And then obviously, I think for me as well, you're playing against, I think the hockey there is different to here.
Yeah.
Like, it's not insanely skill. It's not like, it's kind of the same as SNL, right? But I would just say it's a lot more physical and feisty.
Right.
And like, you can, like, your feet need to always be moving. You can't get caught flat-footed.
Right, okay.
So you can kind of sometimes get away with it here, but from so far when I've been there, you don't get away with that.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? So obviously, it's, do you know what I mean? It's just...
So living in Dundee, playing in Aberdeen, playing at Whitley, I hope your dad likes driving. Holy, holy fuck. How did you convince the big man to go? Well, or was he more than happy?
To be fair, my dad doesn't even drive up here for trainings. I've always been Ben and Dyer.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's the same with game days. And Whitley the first few times.
Oh, do you come up with Ben and Dyer for games?
Yeah. So my dad, he just comes up with his girlfriend and they go Siberia, a few babies.
And then come down.
Yeah, shouts a few things. But nah, so...
But does he enjoy it as well?
Yeah, he loves it. He loves it. He's obviously seen me since. My dad had me. I've lived with my dad my whole life. So, yeah, I was living with my dad my whole life and kind of him seeing me grow as a person and all that. Yeah. It kind of gives him a bit of pride as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
He doesn't miss a game, does he?
Nah.
Never.
No, I never misses a game. Never misses them.
Love that.
But for Whitley, when I went, so Gary Simpson, who plays with Paisley, he's
yeah.
So Gary stays in Fife, so I used to just get dropped off Fife ice rink and I just write down.
Okay, right.
So yeah, I've been with Gary a couple of times and we played Widnes away. That was a car journey. Like, that was like, was it Liverpool, Manchester?
Oof.
That's when I scored my first goal for Whitley, was in the second game there.
Yeah.
We had Tigers and Dundee night before.
Right, okay.
And Dundee the next
straight
year.
Straight down.
Straight down there. Then, it was just like, no, it was, I've never really been too experienced in like playing one game one night and then you're on the road for 4 hours the next day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that was kind of like the bit of a body shock, but no, I feel like I've done well for Whitley so far.
Yeah.
Definitely feel like I've done well. I'll be back there next few weeks.
So what's the plan? Getting the leg sorted, comfortable here, and then back down Whitley.
I think Aberdeen as a team, and like obviously they're protecting me there.
Yeah.
Obviously that's my team. So I think obviously for Aberdeen they're wanting me to be ready to go here before obviously going down, where obviously they know it could be more physical and there's a bit more headhunting and stuff. So like this weekend, for example, Whitley's got Edinburgh in Edinburgh at 1:20 on an afternoon on Saturday. And then we're playing Kestrels here tonight.
Yeah.
So I was supposed to be playing that game right up here, playing that game, then we've got Paisley the next day. But I think now obviously, depending on how tonight goes, obviously hopefully it goes well, touch wood. Should be playing this weekend in this double header. So people ask me this question, like how do you focus having two teams? I just say, like, I just go, Aberdeen's my business, Whitley's my business. Like, I'm not gonna go there, don't go anywhere thinking I'm anything. I go there, play my game, back up the road.
Go
there, play my game. I'm not always the best, no one's ever gonna be the best. McDavid's never as start of the season. Like all these, like, he never played his best. Like, no matter who you are, what type of level you are, hockey players cannot be consistent 24/7.
No.
And there's going to be rough patches. Same with footballers, even boxers. They'll lose maybe a fight here and there. So I think for me, it was, I just went mind blank. Oh, no. No, I've done so well. I just went to say something and went,
You're all right.
Wait, what were we saying again?
The mind's gone. Playing for Whitley and Aberdeen, but it's where I was going to go is when I tell people, like when we spoke on the podcast about people having like double headers, people that play football are like, what, they play twice in 2 days?
Yeah.
And I'm like that as well. See, with you, obviously, you're still young. You're probably not, you're still at the age where you're fucking indestructible, but two games in 2 days is fucking rough on the body, eh?
Yeah. And then not even that, on the Monday, I'm up at 6.
For work.
We're going to have 4. Then I'm
crippled.
So that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, obviously same all week then. I'm training.
And then how much time do you train now? twice for Aberdeen?
I was training Mondays, but then when I got the two-way, I kind of stopped doing that.
So just like, I need
to give myself a break. I'm here on a Wednesday. Once a month, I go to Whitley. I train there
once a month,
yeah. That's kind of the best way because obviously I've got a job.
Yeah.
I took that on before ever thinking about kind of professional ice hockey as such. So, I mean, it's definitely a graft, and that's what I was going to actually say this to you. Like, people don't see people only see you on the ice. They don't see the, again, another 6 days.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what
I
mean? So, like, people aren't going to see you playing your well one night. Oh. Aren't going to see you playing well one night, or maybe the week after or whatever. But, I mean, it's like, for me, again, it's just kind of staying, having that mindset of fear no one, don't fear yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, see, for me, my worst enemy is myself.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm bad for beating myself up, and consistency, I had it a lot, but then I think because I've kind of had it that much that when I didn't have it, it was just.
Are you quite critical on yourself?
Yeah, I'm very critical.
Yeah.
I don't even mean it. It's just like maybe I put too much pressure on myself. Maybe I set the bar too high, but I just feel like if I didn't play that way, I wouldn't be the player that I am.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point in going in? Like, see, when I go into a game, I'm not thinking to myself, like, I'm getting no points tonight. I'm going out to a game, I'm thinking, whenever I get a chance to shoot, I'm shooting.
I'm scoring. Pass.
Like, that's just kind of how my mentality is.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it could sometimes backfire, but, I mean, most of the time it's all right.
Yeah.
Until there's an instant, or if there's an instant where it's time to change it up, I will. But for me, and just now, and how I've been the last couple of years, it's worked so far. So
yeah.
I continue to be going like that.
And on that, the 2 games, 2 days, and then all that sort of stuff, do you take recovery quite seriously? Are you still at the age where you can kind of wake up and feel good to go again?
It's a bit of both, to be honest. Like,
you do try. I've seen you in the changing room.
It's, to be honest, it's hard with work, and it's hard that I play here. Like, it's not like Dundee ice rink's about 40, literally a 40-second drive.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like, I've not got the time to go in foam roll, but like, when I get home from working that, I make sure to do, like, at least something. Like,
yeah,
if I'm not always doing stretching, I'm not just, at least on the foam roll, or loosening up, or I've got massage guns on. Like, like, a time, it's hard to be, like, I'm fully professional and this and that, but like, I'm in the gym most days. Like, I just try my best to just maintain much professional lifestyle I can while still having a job. And it clashes and it's difficult, but I mean, again,
it's worth it when you've got
you've got
the Aberdeen move out of it, you've got the Whitley move out of it.
Exactly. I mean, I've been doing something right for the last couple of years, and I don't plan on changing nothing like that so far anyway. Yeah.
So nice. So the career's done. So you're laughing because you know what's coming next. So. Same as I said to Josh, you've got time to throw some teammates under the bus. I feel like you're quite reserved, so I don't feel like you're going to throw them under as much as I want you to, but you might. So
no, we'll give it a bash.
So a couple of quick ones on the teammates. Best player in training at Lakes?
Younger guy. The Goatman.
Oh, Goatman.
It's not even like, he just brings an energy and everyone just loves him. He's like, that's why he is the Goat, literally. Like, everyone just loves him. Like,
the Goat.
Like, he just comes with, like, such a flair.
Everyone
else is like, this, like, he's young. I think he may be younger than me, I'm not sure, but even me, I'm like, this guy's like pushing for spots on our team, and he's coming and putting in the effort.
Is he good?
So,
yeah,
he puts for 19s, and Suzel, you'll know, he puts up points for the 19s and stuff, so I mean,
puts it in about himself.
He's actually he's kitted up for a few games. He's had a couple of I'd probably say Goatman, to be honest. Yeah, definitely.
And I know Frey's normally takes over the speaker, but who's the, I don't know if anyone else has jumped on, but who's got the worst taste of music in the team?
Snooze. Yeah.
Terrible.
No, I'm not.
Suze is nodding from the other side of the table.
I'm not a big fan of, like, the drum and bass. Like,
oh, is that what he goes down, is it?
Not ever. It's like, even phrase, like, the tunes in the room are not, like, what I listen to.
No, okay.
I listen to a lot of, like, rap, drill, and, like, techno, and it's not that at all in the changing room. Like, obviously, I love, I've got a playlist just called Hockey Tunes, and it's just, like, all these, like, Song 2 by Blur, like Mother, Joker and the Thief, like them type of songs.
The ones you hear,
I'd definitely say, because, well, whenever I'm in the room and it's like, who's got this on? Stu's just like, oh, I put it in the playlist. Because obviously we've got a playlist that anyone can add songs into.
What's an example?
I don't even...
You just don't even want, like, to think of it.
It's not even that. I just generally don't know what the songs are he listens to. That's kind of...
Because they're that bad. So who's the best boozer in the team?
Best boozer, phrase.
Absolutely.
It's pretty
hands down.
The man's an animal.
What? Juice is kind of... Juice is...
Juice there,
oh,
is he?
Oh, yeah.
See, like, I didn't have him down as a boozer, eh?
Oh, now he is.
Is he?
Oh, now he is.
He's discovered it, is he?
You remember what? You've seen, Susan, we were talking about that. We did the video for the Christmas team.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, on about the video juice. And obviously, he's got, I think it was an espresso martini. Had speed it right back in the
car.
He did that, then just got next drummed back again.
And he was straight.
Yeah, he was.
Last man standing.
Yeah, he literally last man. I think he put you meant to work the next day. Running off very low of sleep.
So who's the worst?
Oh, the worst boozer. That's hard to say. The worst boozer.
He's not the worst,
when they're drunk, they're a riot, or
just or either that or they just can't handle their booze.
Well, I'm just going to go off that awards night and say Macaulay, because that was an event that was hilarious. I can't even say on here, but it was just. Everyone on the team that listens to this, I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Fraser is the best boozer, but he's also the worst, because the amount of times I've been licked by that man is actually
licked by him.
Oh, licked, everyone's been there. Bear hug, everything from Fraser. Who's the idiot in the WhatsApp group?
Yeah, probably Fridge again.
Fridge,
yeah. It's not that he's like an idiot. He's just some of the stuff he says. It's like, to be fair, people would probably say me. I kind of do speak a bit of nonsense in that chat sometimes as well, but I'd probably say. Well, what's the fine debate? Have you been told about that? Just whenever there's a fine goes down, basically, or when everyone gets pulled up about it, it goes in the chat, and Fridge is always the one that's like, so you missed, pardon me, you missed a couple games because you're on holiday. And it's like, the rules like, the top's like £10 a game you're missing. He was like, I booked it before. And Jordan was just like, well, you booked it during hockey season, so
it's a fine
kind of thing. And honestly, that was just a bit of that, so I'll just stick with Fridge on that one, yeah.
And the million-dollar question, I don't know if you do have a sister, but...
Yeah, my sister's like my mum, to be honest. This question's a bit...
So, who out of the team would you not let date your sister?
Right, okay. Bradley, Kyle, Fraze, and Martin.
You didn't even have to think about that, did you?
No, when I seen it on the paper, I was just like, no, I know exactly. Kyle, because he's a cat killer. I mean, not literally,
we don't know.
Yeah, and Bradley's just like...
Bradley's a riot.
Like, you need to know, as I've said in the teammates video, you know Bradley, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't even really know him, and I know what you're talking about, so that sums that guy up.
Fraser and Markie are kind of just like a bit of a dynamic duo when it comes to that. Like, they're both, I just would not trust them guys and my sister whatsoever. I think because obviously it's the fact that it's GK sister, it would be a lot funnier for the boys, you know what I mean? So I think... Probably, yeah, let's stick to them four guys. I definitely wouldn't want them going around my sister anyway.
Guys, thank you so much for spending time with me tonight. Hopefully the recovery goes well, and the return to hopefully on Saturday when the boys will... So this comes out Friday. Hopefully you're back on the Saturday.
Yeah, let's hope so.
And then back at Whitley Bay in the next few weeks.
Yeah, thank you,
thank
man.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you, pal.
No worries, man.
This podcast and all other Changing Room Chat podcasts are brought to you and sponsored by Nico Pods Elite and James Connolly PT. All information on these sponsors can be found on the Instagram page or in the bio. As always, thank you to Gary Kelly, who gave up his time to come on the podcast, and for Susan Strachan from Aberdeen Links, who does all the social media, who sat in on the podcast, took some photos, made us look good, and helped us with some information. And finally, a massive thank you to Jordan Layden from the Links, who allowed Gary to come on, and also to the Aberdeen Ice Rink Arena, who let us hold the podcast upstairs. More information on all podcasts can be found via the page, or you can find all the podcasts on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Thank you very much.